Good morning, everybody. Good morning to Garden of Eden Ministries Church. This is a very unusual church in that we do our churches at 7:30 in the morning on Sunday mornings on the prayer line. We do this because there are many people that either don't have a church or they're not really being fed in the church they're going to, so they kind of listen to us to help fulfill their need type of deal. And we are preparing for what's coming as far as the world is headed towards Web 3.0. If you don't know much about that, you can text me and I'll be happy to explain it to you at 731-733-0532. The reason I'm explaining who we are and why we do it on a prayer call line, we are preparing for the time when we are not able to be online. Now, this is a very serious subject because even President Trump recently was going to roll out his Web 3, but they postponed it to July. So it's like imminent. Where they are going to take it to the next level with AI, which is going to require pass keys from everybody. And for Garden of Eden Ministries, we have decided we're not going in Web 3. So we are hopefully going to still be able to do church and continue forward with the way that we have it now. Which is on a telephone line. So this is why we do it on the telephone, and we do it early in the morning at 7:30 on Sunday mornings, so that if they're going to a local church, they can, after they finish their service here, they can go to a local church. We do encourage local fellowship because they need that fellowship, you know, if they can. Find a church that they can trust and whatnot. Okay, so that's why we're doing that. And this week we made a decision to get back on Facebook since this is most likely our last year online. We wanted to get on Facebook to try to reach more people and for the local people here in our community to get to know us before we leave type of deal. But I encourage you, if you are on Facebook, we do have a Facebook page now, Garden of Eden Ministries, and we have a personal one under our name. We are not doing anything controversial on there. We're not doing any news or anything that would hurt relationships, anything that's divisive. So we're not going to give our opinions on there, and we're not going to be sharing articles and all that. That is not what we're using Facebook for. We are using Facebook to reach people for Jesus and to reconnect in relationships, okay? So if y'all would like to join with us over on Facebook, we're only there for a little bit of time, but we want to gain ground while we can. I do want to warn everybody again about what I've been telling you about sharing on social media. Just know what I have revealed to you guys about Facebook with FBI and how there's AI agents now that, you know, is monitoring what everybody's doing and saying online. It's a very serious thing, so I encourage you to kind of back off of the warnings, you know, especially on social media, because at this point, we're 5 years into this thing, you know. At this point, people have made up their minds. The ones who are, you know, really wanting to know the truth would have already found it by now. So I'm just warning you to be careful and to remember, you know, what we have learned over the past 5 years. At this point, Pastor and I are just going after souls. We're tired of, you know, digging down rabbit trails. We already know what's coming. We know We don't need to know anymore. We just want to know Jesus. We want to know important stuff. That's why I said I will be with you guys on important things. But right now, we just want more of Jesus. And we are really enjoying, getting closer to people. You know, God gave us who He's given us. And this is, you know, we're very happy with you guys. We don't care about the numbers. You know, we're happy with what God has given us. And so we know what is coming. It's going to be what it's going to be. But at least we can help the ones who God has given us over time. So that's the way we feel about it. So I want us to pray for a lady that's in our church named Donna. She contacted me yesterday. She fell and hurt her nose and had to go to the emergency room. And, you know, sometimes, you know, when you fall, I mean, it's a very serious thing. So I want us to pray for Miss Donna. Lord, we just all come together in agreement right now for Miss Donna. Lord, that you would heal her nose. We pray that you would protect her from, you know, any scans or anything from the hospital, that you would protect her from all intent. We pray, Lord, that the blood of Jesus would be over her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. We pray, Lord, you give her peace right now in the midst of the storm. We know, Lord, she's been going through a lot of spiritual warfare. We just lift up our sister right now in the name of Jesus. We pray peace, peace to her. In Jesus' name, amen. And, Lord, we pray for Darlene. With Darlene, the changes that she has going on in her life, Lord, with looking for another job and the other things that she has going on, Lord, we speak peace to her and give her favor, Lord. Give her her heart's desire. Thank you, Lord, for using her for soul winning. And the same for Monica, Lord. We pray for Monica this morning. Monica, that she needs favor as well in the workforce. Thank you, Lord, for giving her strength with her family. Be with her and lead her and guide her into all decisions, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for Miss Dorothy. We speak peace to Miss Dorothy this morning. We thank you, Lord, that as she takes care of her grandson, Lord, that you would give her grace. Grace that it takes to do that, Lord. Give her wisdom on how to love him and her other grandchildren. Give her wisdom about her neighbors and how to love her neighbors. Thank you, Lord, for protecting her in the storms. Lord, we pray for our other sister that's on here named June. We pray, Lord, that you be with her leader and guide her into all wisdom. Lord, give her wisdom in her decisions, Lord. Thank you for being with her right now, God. Lord, we pray for Annette this morning. We pray, God, that you would give her wisdom, Lord, in her decisions as well, Lord. Wisdom in how to witness to people. Give her strength in her body, Lord. Heal her body. Thank you for being with her, Lord, sending angels to her, Lord, to fight that spiritual warfare that's going on over her family, Lord, in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we pray for our friends here in Iowa. We pray strength on their bodies, Lord. Heal the family, Lord. Heal them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, Lord. We plead the blood of Jesus over them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, Lord. Thank you for having angels go to their home and fight that spiritual warfare that's going on over them as well, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Dave and Linda this morning, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. All right, so, amen. Okay, so something else I wanted to say before we get started. Now, you know, last night was Spring Forward, so I'm very proud of all you guys. that you was able to be on here this morning and that you remembered that we all sprang forward an hour. And let's see what else. Okay, that's all my notes from the ministry that I have. Everything's been going good this week. Papa's been working on the farm, and I've just been working over here, and the animals are doing good. Our four little baby goats are doing really good. So all is well here on the farm. And I guess that's about it. I just really want to say it again, just be careful about warning people at this point. Because most people at this point in the end time scenario, they've already made up their mind. So the only thing we can do from this point forward is to love people on our way out. And that's our heart's goal. We want to build relationships that have been broken. We want to bring healing to people, and we want to love people because they're going to do what they're going to do. We have to love them in spite of their self and in spite of ourself. Amen. All right. So there is a song that Pastor wants us to sing this morning. And it's called "Our God is an Awesome God." Our God is an awesome God. He reigns. Remember this song? From heaven above, with wisdom, power, and love, our God is an awesome God. Isn't he awesome? Our God, he's an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. You know, I was thinking about some of my stories. You know, almost every one of my stories, the victory came after we praised the Lord. So let's think about all the things that we are going through in our life right now. And let's just kind of put a stop to that in the spirit. And let's just say, you know what? We're going to praise our God. He truly is an awesome God, you know, in spite of all we're going through. So let's sing it like that. Amen. Here we go. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Come on now. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. One more time. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God, he's an awesome God. What about this one? How great is our God? The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? And all will sing. How great is our God? Isn't he great? Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one. Father, Spirit, and Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will sing, how great, how great is our God. You know, when you think about all the things that are coming and how bold and brazen people are, but you know, one day every knee is going to bow, every knee. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is none like him. There is no other. There's no other God like our God. Even though we see the wolf growling at the door, there is no other God but the one that we serve. He truly is an awesome God this morning. Amen. Now, God has been dealing with Pastor all week about a sermon. I am very excited for you guys to hear it this morning. So let me get him on the call here. Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to everybody. Can you hear
now,
me,
Pastor,
okay?
Now, Pastor, before we get started, yes, I hear you fine. I would like to pray for you. Let's all pray for Pastor before he delivers the word. Lord, we just thank you so much for dealing with Pastor every week, Lord. The pure, unadulterated word. And I am truly honored, Lord, to be married to him. And I'm excited to see what he is going to bring to us this morning, Lord. Thank you for speaking to him and giving him the fresh manna from heaven. And Lord, I pray that you would give him the eloquence and the grace to be able to deliver the word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, sir, you got the floor.
Thank you, honey. Thank you, everybody, for being here. I guess the word that I got today is almost going to be an offshoot from last week, where we talked about not bowing to Baal, you know, not bowing to all the idols of this world, etc., and everything. Been thinking about this, you know, pondering on this message all week, and then yesterday I almost changed it because I thought, I should go this way instead, but this morning I woke up about 4 and I was just praying and stuff, and a couple other scriptures come to me and I looked them up, and it's like that goes right with what I was going to talk about today. And so I'm going to continue on with that. And I guess I'm just going to title it Love Not the World. There's other things I could say, but that's where we're going to go with that. But anyway, as June was saying, yes, we are in serious times, you know, and we almost hate to say this, but, you know, we have people that, and I'm just going to point to my own blood family, you know, that we don't think they take us serious for what we do and what we have done. And we do take this ministry very serious. And so I just want people to know that we are in serious times, and as watchmen and observers, and I've always, even before I got into ministry, and or just right when I did, I looked back at my life, and this just come to me, but you know, I've always been kind of an observant person. Even when I lived in the dark in my partying days, you know, sitting in the bars and stuff like that, I was usually one to sit back and you know, just watch what's going on, you know, where's the next fight going to start, or who's who with who, and, you know, just more of an observant person. And so that's why I am to where I am today, I believe, is that, you know, we have to observe and be alert and what's going on out there. You know, it's serious because there's souls at stake. So I just want to reiterate or whatever Mama's message, you know. And we lost a lot of, you know, friendships with people and ties with people because of that. So we're hoping we can regain some of that back and not be so much into the world, but looking to, you know, eternity. And so that's what my message is about today. But I want to also, before we started today and the song Waymaker was playing, you know, God is our waymaker. He's going to make a way. And when I was listening to that song, something popped up in my memory I want to share about yesterday. And I've been, we got this great big pile of trees. Well, we cut down 3 big cedar trees in our front yard about 2 years ago. And we kept the main trunks, and I cut boards out of them, made some beautiful fences and all that. But the brush from all these trees were sitting over here to the east of the house, a big pile. And we're like, oh, we got to get rid of that pile. So this week I've been picking at that pile, pulling out the good wood to cut up and burning the rest. And so yesterday, what, you know, I've been doing this for about 3 days. It's a lot of work, but we're trying to save money and having somebody else come and do it, so I'm doing it. But yesterday, when I went to start my chainsaw, it wouldn't start. And it wouldn't start. I'm pulling and pulling, and sometimes I'll get frustrated, but, you know, I've been really praying about that. Lord, give me more patience in myself and things. And so I just stopped, and I pondered, and I said, Lord, you know what I got to do. I got to work on this pile, you know, and you've got us here for such a time as this, and we want to get it cleaned up, and this darn chainsaw won't start on me. And I just, you know, blessed my chainsaw, you know, and I was trying to have patience, which I've really been working on, and I pulled that chainsaw, and it fired right up. And so I just want to give God all the glory. He is a waymaker. Amen. You know, he never, you know, in that song, he never stops working. And so, Father God, right now, I just thank you that you will never stop working in us, showing us the way. You are the waymaker. So we just thank you and we praise you, Lord, in these serious times, in these turbulent times that we see coming, these times of such great delusion and people being deceived, Lord, you're the way maker. You make a way. You show us and guide us on that narrow path. Amen and amen. Also, I want to, the song Awesome God. This morning, when I was doing this, and then I was going to play some music, and that's the song that came up to me. So I, you know, YouTubed it, and the first one come up, it was by Michael W. Smith, and he has a full orchestra that plays that song, you know, the drums and the violin and everything, you know, and you just want to crank it up. It's really good, you know. But then I think back and I go, because Rich Mullins and Michael W. Smith are two of my favorites, but Rich Mullin, when he sings that song, you have to listen to the words, not just the chorus, because we know we have an awesome God. Right? Amen. But I've got the words here, and I just want to read this to you for just quickly and point out a couple things. You know, when Mama sang the song, bless her heart, she was just singing the chorus, and that's what most people do. But you got to read the, you got to sing the whole song. And so it goes, our God is an awesome God. You know, he reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Then it goes on, and he says, he ain't just putting on the Ritz. Our God is an awesome God. And ain't that the truth? He ain't just putting on the Ritz today. He's serious. There's thunder in his footsteps and there's lightning in his fist. Our God is an awesome God. Don't we want to shake our fist sometimes at the world? And just grab people by the shoulders and shake them. Our God is an awesome God. And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked them out of Eden. You know, we don't have a our Lord God Almighty. He's not a joke. He's not joking around, is he? His word is serious. And when he kicked them out of Eden, it wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. Ain't that awesome? The Lord Jesus shed his blood for a reason. And his return is very close, so you better be believing that. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Amen. So anyway, I just want to share that. And Father God, Lord, I pray that our passion for you will grow stronger and stronger, and that we will remain untainted from the world. Please show each of us if there's any place in us that are drawn to things that displease you. It may be hard for us to hear, but if there's anything in us that seeks to slip back into the life from which you delivered us from, please reveal it to us. If our affection for anything else in this world is greater than our affection for you, please show each one of us, Lord. And I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Let's turn to James 4. James chapter 4. The beginning of it is about worldliness and pride. And then it goes into, you know, we have to consideration for our brothers. You know, an unchristian conduct. And I just want to read this all, but I want to apologize for last Sunday. I had no idea that I went over 2 hours. And so I hope not to do that today. So just please forgive me for that. I just start reading and I just get carried away. So, but anyway, it's about worldliness and pride. And I want to just go down and jump. Well, I'm going to start with verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war is in your members? Maybe that's spiritual warfare. I mean, what do we think on? Are we thinking evil against others in this world? Verse 2, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity against with God? So that's a question. He's asking us, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Wow. That's a pretty powerful word. It's serious. You know, how friendly are we with the world? You know, I want to skip down to verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Wow. Now I'm going to jump down to verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanished away. You know, this word, I'm going to go back to verse 4. The friendship of the world is enmity with God. And that's kind of what my message is about here, the first part. What does that mean? What is that enmity with God? You know, it's a feeling of intense hostility, hatred, or ill will. Wow. So that's why me in my study times and when I'm reading, I look up words. Sometimes I'll look them up in the Greek or Hebrew or something because it just puts more power in the scripture. It enlightens. It enlightens to the truth of that scripture. You know, it can also refer to the state of being an enemy. You know, if you turn, we probably won't go there right now, but if you turn to Genesis 3:15, the serpent's fruit, he talks about, well, let's just turn there, gosh darn it. Genesis 3. And, you know, this is about the fall of man, okay? And Genesis 3:15. And I will, well, let's go up to 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above the beast of the field. Upon the belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. There it is. It started clear back in Genesis. And between thy seed and her seed. And when I read that, I thought, wow, God's putting enmity between thy seed, which he's talking to who? The devil, and her seed. And he's talking about Eve. Or the church, maybe we should say. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So that word enmity is serious, you know, and I look at that as, and when I was pondering this, this come to me, that's the serpent's fruit. He wants to put that, he wants to put in our, in this intense hostility and hatred and ill will. He wants to put that, because that's what he is. That's what he wants to put that on us, to where we think that way. And we put that on others, and we put that most of all to God. You know? But ain't that a powerful word? That, in, you know, friendship of the world is enmity with God. This is serious stuff. 1 John. Let's go back to 1 John 2. 1 John 2. And in here in 1 John, you know, it's about, you know, the God is light and sin is reality. And there's a remedy for it. It's the truth that sets us free. And Jesus is our advocate with the Father. Verse 1 in chapter 2. And it goes down to our, you know, about our first love. But let's go down to verse 15. Or let's go to 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. And I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. You know, that's how we overcome the wicked one. That's how we overcome this world. Because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Whew. Love not the world, verse 15, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Wow. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I'm going to read that one again. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that dwelleth, excuse me, but he that doeth, practices the will of God abideth forever. Father, right now, I just thank you that you would show each one of us today, Lord, your will, that the will of the Lord will be done. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. You know, if someone, how do I want to say this? If someone prioritizes the values, desires, and the ways of the world over God's will, they are essentially choosing to be against God, as if they are actively taking a stance against him. That's what it's saying here, I believe. You know, the world, you know, it refers to a lifestyle that is focused on worldly things like wealth and power and pleasure, etc., etc. And it often contradicts God's teachings, his will, friendship of the world, aligning oneself with the values and priorities of the world. Familiar with the ways of the world, a deep affection toward the fondness for it. the connection and sense of familiarity they have with the world is so intense that feeling of obligation to the world or to the worldly friends. You know, we've got to be careful with our friendship, how we approach that. You know, and we all have to, you know, ponder that. That's for sure. Just like June was saying, you know, being the watchman and a lot of things that we were been doing, you know, we lost friendships by speaking the truth. But we're going to go back and we're going to try and reestablish friendships and direct, because we were always talking about the worldly things and exposing the darkness. And we still will do that, but we're going to change our focus more onto friendship with our Heavenly Father, friendship of eternity. And I'm going to talk about that, you know. And it's going to be an exchange for a deep affection for the Lord, to a renewed alliance, you know. You know, from the world from which we were rescued from, you know, Jesus came to save us. Amen. You know, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who shall believeth on him will have eternal life. Amen. You know, the question also is, the world, can it also refer to the world's systems? How, as we also can see, are being, you know, they're ruled by Satan, the god of this world. You know, are we just, you know, there's so many different systems of this world, the medical system, the religious systems, the political systems, you know, the educational systems. 2 Corinthians. I don't know if I was going to go here on that, but let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Oops. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, it's about God's power and ministry. Therefore, seeing we have a ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Lord, we just thank you for your mercy. We thank you that we, for your mercy, Lord, and that we faint not to all the things that we see happening in this world, Lord. All the things that are coming against us are the things that we see coming against our friends and our families, Lord, that we will faint not. Verse 2, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifest of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, to whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commandeth the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Whew. Father, we just thank you for your light. We just thank you that your light shines out of the darkness. And it shines in our hearts. And it's to give us the the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Yes. You know, Satan has significant influence over the world, blinding people's eyes to the truth of the gospel through deception and spiritual darkness. But remember, even though he is the God of this world, and that's a small g, amen, it's important, very important, to understand that Satan's power is limited and subject to God's ultimate authority. Okay? I want to read that again. But remember, even though the God of this world is so important, that we understand that Satan's power is limited and subject to the to God's ultimate authority. And his word is authority over the powers of darkness. Amen. That's why we have to be in the word. We have to get that inside us. We need to be aware and not give Satan an open door in our lives. That's why we have to be alert and seeing what's going on out there and not surrendering to it, not being enticed by it. We need to be aware. We as the children of the light, we should be ruled. We should not be ruled by sin or bound by the principalities and powers and the rulers of this, of the darkness of this world, Ephesians 6:12. We should be in progress, being changed into the image of Christ, causing our interest in the things of this world, which draw us away from Christ, to be less and less and less as we mature in Christ. And we put what? On the full armor of God, Ephesians 6. You know, we're to be children of the light. Romans 8. Let's turn to Romans 8. Romans 8. Praise the Lord. You know, Romans 8 is so powerful. It's about life in the Spirit. You know, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, not walking after the flesh of in the manners of this world. You know, and I'm not going to, I want to read this whole chapter, but, you know, verse 13, but if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. If we mortify the deeds of the body, the flesh means to overcome bodily desires and feelings, that put to death those feelings. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Praise the Lord. For the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now we have to have an eager hope. Amen. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Amen. We just thank you, Father, that we could be called the children of God, the children of the light. You know, Galatians 3:26, you know, it talks about the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. You know, we are to be the light of the world, Matthew 5:14-16. Shining as lights in the world, you know, Philippians 2:12-18, especially verse 15, holding forth the word of life, verse 16. Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Let's turn to John chapter 12. And let's go, let's see here. Verse 20. I want to jump down. Let's see. Yeah, let's go to verse 23. John 12:23. And these are Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So we're going to mortify the things of this world, what we just talked about. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. For as this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people thereof that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said the angel spoke to him. Verse 30, Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. And people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Who is this Son of Man? You know, these people are asking. And Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he go. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of the light. Children of the light. Amen. You know, we are to be the children of the light. You know, Jesus is the light of the world. John 8:12, Jesus is the light of the world. John 12 through 29, it talks about that. John 9:5, Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. John 9:1 through 11 is when, you know, Jesus heals the blind from birth. And in that verse 5, he says, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. In 1 John 1:5-7, it talks about God is light. You know, he's the light. He's the light of the world. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Oops, going the wrong way here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this is, in chapter 4 is about God's power in ministry, okay? But verse 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Wow. Ain't that awesome? Father God, we just thank you right now, Lord. You have commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. May that light just shine in our hearts, Father. Illuminate our hearts with the truth to set us free, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, we are to be changed into the image of Jesus, right? 2 Corinthians 3. Verse 16, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We want the light, the glorious light of Jesus Christ. We want that, the light of liberty, the Spirit of liberty, to set us free. Verse 18, but we all, this is believers, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, we talked about, you know, we're in progress. You know, we all want to be changed into the, you know, image of Jesus. It's a progress. It's being sanctified from this and that, and being holy, being set apart from the ways of this world and changed into the same image from glory to glory. It's like going up a ladder. You know, we get rid of this worldly thing. We get rid of this idol. We stop bowing to Baal. You know? And that changes us. It changes our spirit man and our image that the ways of the people of the world will just see. And that's what we want. Lord, we just want to be changed more into the image of Jesus Christ. Change our hearts. Sanctify our hearts, oh God, that we can be changed. Verse 17, chapter 4, for the light affection which is but for a moment worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. You know, we're to be children of the light. We shouldn't be ruled by sin or bound by the principalities and powers of the rulers of this world, the darkness of this world. You know, we should be in progress, being changed to the image of Christ. Amen. You know, the ways of this world are very enticing, alluring our flesh, the carnal mind, away from the things of God, away from the light of truth, away from the life in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And that's the alluring, enticing things of this world. The carnal and fleshly mind is opposed to the spiritual mind. It is hostile to God. It is opposed to the spiritual mind because it doesn't what? It doesn't want to submit to the law of God. And that goes back to Romans 8. Let's turn to John chapter 17. John 17. Here, Jesus, you know, prays for his own. This is what Jesus' word, you know. And it's just so powerful. So let's just start with verse 1 and read down here. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they, and everyone put your name there, might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Wow. I have manifest thy name unto the men which thou givest me out of the world. Can we all say yes? We hope our name's there. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou givest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out of thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Do you believe today, Lord, or each of us? We have to ask ourselves, do we really believe that God sent Jesus down here for us? Verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Did you hear that? Jesus says, I pray for them. Lord, we just thank you right now that you pray for us. That Jesus is our intercessor. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He's our intercessor, and he's praying for each one of us. Amen. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Lord, we just thank you for your honoring us, Lord, and drawing us closer to you. Verse 11, for now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was sitting with them in the world, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou givest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And that's a whole message there alone. I started looking into that about the son of perdition and everything, and it's like, wow. Anyway, let's verse 13. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak to the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Wow, ponder that. Verse 14, I want to read that again. I have given them thy word, the message, the good message, the gospel of truth, and the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from evil. We're going to get into that a little more here in just a minute. To keep them from evil. Thank you, Lord. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We're just passing through, amen. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Each one of us, we're here for such a time as this. You know, we, as watchmen, you know, we're exposing the darkness of this world, you know, and it can be despairing, because especially, and I've known this for a long time, and I know June has too, and maybe many of you, but you know, as we expose the darkness as watchmen, you know, we're sent out to the world, and we lose that friendship. And a lot of people, their young families, you know, I think of my own daughter growing up, you know, and when I start years ago, you know, talking about the end times and such a night, and she would get all mad, and you know what couples think, young people think, and even older people, I don't want, you know, what do I got to look forward to in life, you know, I mean, if the world's going to come to end and all this and that, you know what I mean? But God has each one of us here for such a time as now. And that's why we have to seek him. You know, Lord, what do you want us to do? We want your will to be done in our lives for such a time as this. You know, he's sent. It says right here, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. In verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. You know, he's setting us apart from the world. Amen. If you're a true believer in Jesus Christ and you've called, you know, each one of us are called to such a time as this. We want to seek the will of the Lord, because he's sanctified us. He's set us apart. He's made us holy. He's set us apart for such a time as this. He sent us out to the world. Verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through thy word, through their word. Excuse me. I want to read that again. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And I'm going to stop there for a second, or two, or maybe even a minute. What is that saying? Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, through their message, it says here, in you know, or should I say, in their testimony. We talk a lot about our testimony. You know, Jesus says here, he's not just praying for us, but for them which also shall believe on me. We have to believe on Jesus through what? Our testimony, you know. And in 2 Timothy, we're not going to go there, but in 2 Timothy, verses 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 18, it's exhortation to endurance. You know, if we believe on him, and we're coming into some turbulent times, to say the least, read 2 Timothy chapter 1 about exhortation to enduring the things that are coming upon the earth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, it's about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Well, let's turn to 2 Timothy just for a minute. Because 2 Timothy, one. Now I just want to read this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, but not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which has given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Wow. He's called each one of us. If you're sitting here with us today and you've been called, according to his purpose and his grace, which he's given each one of us in Christ Jesus before the world even began. Wow. Ain't that awesome? So, verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, our testimony is a command of God. And if we stay silent, we are in disobedience. I'm not going to go there, but you just write this down. Acts chapter 5, verses 29 through 32. There's so many scriptures, and I was looking into this, and it's just like, oh boy. This is a whole message in itself about your testimony. But if you don't have a testimony, and if you're staying silent, you are in disobedience. It's sin. Acts 5, 29 through 32, just read that. Amen. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. You know, there's an accuser of the brethren. We got people coming against us here and there and this and whatever. Verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. You know, we have, each one of us, time is but a vapor when we look to eternity. And that's one of the things I want to get out of this message, is we need to be looking to eternity. There's lots and lots, and that could be another whole message in itself. All the scriptures that direct us to eternity. You know, focus on eternity. Get our focus off the world. You know, let's just read this down a couple more verses. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman. You know, and this could be prophecy, and some people think that woman is Israel, but I'm sorry, it's God's chosen people for such a time as this. Brought forth the man child, and to the woman were given two wings of an eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and a times and a half a time from the face of the serpent. And that's what we have to ponder in the Word. We have to get in the Word. We need to be nourished. Verse 15, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. You know, the flood, the things of this world could just, like a water, just flood us away into the world. No. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Do you have the testimony of Jesus Christ today? Are you the remnant? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, our testimony, again, is the commandment of God. John 16. Let's turn to John 16. John 16, verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At the day ye shall ask in my name, and say not unto you, I say not unto you, that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because he hath loved me, and have believed that I came out of God, from God. I came forth from the Father, and I am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and I go to the Father. You know, and his disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb? Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee? By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. And Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Do you believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus is our overcomer. He is the way maker. Amen. You know, we need to think more in the realm of eternity. You know, Revelation 21. Revelation 21. And this is about the new heaven and the new earth. But I just want to read verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto them that is athirst of the fountain of water of life, freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, and you know, when we think about eternity again, there's so many scriptures about it. Isaiah 57, verses 13 through 15 is very awesome. Psalm 90 is about the everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. There's another great psalm to listen to read. John 3:16. I mean, it's in Jesus' words. For God so loveth the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And this morning when I was sitting here pondering this message and praying and just, you know, thinking about it, and something led me to Matthew chapter 6. Whoops. Matthew chapter 6. I'm sorry. I got to get. There we go. Matthew chapter 6. You know, we need to thank God for sending Jesus to save us from this perverse and wicked world. When I was sitting in my quiet time this morning, that's what came to me. But Matthew 6, chapter 6, yes, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Now, this is the Lord's Prayer, and it's a model prayer. It's not one just to be prayed in repetition. It's one to be prayed one sentence at a time and ponder each one. Because each sentence, each scripture could be just taken in a big realm, if you want to say. Or, you know, we could really focus on that one scripture to mean so much more. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be the name of the Lord. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we pray that your will be done. Lord, I pray that your will be done to each one that hears this message, Lord, as it is in heaven. Here on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And we are so thankful, June and I, you know, as you trust in the Lord in these turbulent times that we're coming in, to say the least. You know, we have to trust He is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. He gives us this day our daily bread. And I was pondering this scripture for quite a while this morning. You know, we don't have much here, but what we have, we are so thankful that God has given us what we have. And it's been a lot of work, this, the Garden of Eden farm here. But He is, you know, He's our provider. We just are in awe sometimes of what He's given us. And He provides for us our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Wow. And that's just not your credit card. You know, forgive us our debts. You know, but we might be in debt to someone to ask them to forgive us. You know, there's different, you know, you can look at this as a whole array of different things. You know, who are we in debt to for this or that, you know? Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, we just thank you that you will lead us and guide us on that narrow path. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the powers of darkness. You know, and that, saying that, let me think here. You know, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Revelation 12. We just read this. But I'm going to read this again. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. And they, and me, Dennis Weir, overcame the accuser of the brethren, overcame him that's coming against me, spirit, soul, and body, come against me, against my soul. I overcame the accuser by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. And I love not my life unto the death. Amen. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we give all the glory and honor and praise to our Heavenly Father. Father God, I just thank you for your message today, Lord, that we will look to you. And we know that Jesus Christ was sent to this world to save us from our sins. He went to Calvary, and all that he went through on his way to Calvary and what he did on that cross for each one of us, Lord, we just thank you. We just thank you, Father, for sending your Son Jesus right now. And all that believe on him, your word says, can be saved. We just thank you for the cross of Calvary, Lord. And that we look to the cross and we plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over each one here today, Lord. That you would sanctify them and set them free by the word of truth. Your word says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So, Father, I thank you that you pour out your Spirit, the Spirit of truth, upon each one here today, Lord, to know that they will know that they are not of this world, that they're just passing through. Each one has a calling. Lord, I ask that you would reveal to them the calling that you have for them. And that their testimony would be of your goodness and your grace and your mercy. And what Jesus did on that cross for us. To set us free from the ways of this world. And I pray and ask this in the mighty name of Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the name that every knee will bow to and every tongue will confess is Lord. To your glory and honor, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, amen. And that's my message for today. I thank each one for being here. I hope I wasn't too long. I don't have a clock in front of me. So anyway, let Mama take it over from here. Everybody have a great day.
Well, I tell you what, Pastor, that was really amazing. It's another one of them where you rounded it up. Like telling us, you know, the beginning to the end of the matter. You know, going all the way to let us know that it is about our heavenly home. You know, this world is but a fleeting moment. And I know I've said this over and over again to you guys about praying with the elderly people, you know, that was 110, 102. You know, they all say, you know, that it was but just 5 minutes, their time here on the earth. It seems that way. You know, it is a fleeting moment. The devil lies to us and tries to make us think that we have more time and we can procrastinate, and it's not what it seems it is. But it is what it is. And this is where we lose our joy, when we don't enjoy the day. If we don't appreciate and thank the Lord for the day, recognizing that, you know, this is the day that the Lord has made. It really is. You know, God is a now type of God. He will always be there tomorrow. I know we've done many, you know, news shows where we've looked at all their plans for tomorrow, and now we know so that we can make wise decisions and we can be sober and alert. It's not that it is there to ruin us. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? It is not to ruin us, and we don't shape our destiny around that. We shape our destiny around the ear of the Lord. But it makes us sober and alert so that we can make wise decisions. And I've had you guys contact us so many times. Like even Miss Dorothy, I don't know if she's still on here. No, she's probably gone to church. But she has, you know, stated how she's an elderly lady. She's the one that lives down in Tampa Bay, Florida. And how it has saved her life many times. Because they will contact her. We want to give you this for free. They will tell her all this technology. They even came to her door. Listen to this. They came to her door and gave her, tried to give her a brand new iPhone. You know, and to a lot of people who are not sober and alert would just grab that iPhone and be so excited about it. She told them she didn't want it. She is perfectly happy because she knows the surveillance that they're doing on these new phones. She knows that the iPhone has an agreement with the CDC to monitor your mental health. She knows all these things. When they come to her door, she's able to be sober and alert. But we live every day and we thank in the Lord, trusting God in our tomorrow. He's always going to be over there. And, you know, all the great things that you will do for the rest of your time here in the earth will be done on the daily. So as you wake up every day, good morning, Lord. How are you today, Lord? He will lead you each day. And one day you'll wake up and go, wow, I really did do that, didn't I? Because it's in small steps. You know, he doesn't just wake you up and say, yeah, you know. You know, he'll walk you through it. So this is the day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. All right, guys. Now, I meant to tell you guys this earlier. I want to tell you that the Bible College students are really heavy into the tabernacle study. We're actually about to start week 2. Now, this actually has a hybrid course for this study because there's so many people that want to study the tabernacle. It is such a fascinating thing. So we are doing Bible studies through these 6 weeks on Mondays and Thursdays. And you can see them with us, watch it with us at 1 o'clock to learn more about the tabernacle. Now, last week we learned about the history, what kind of led up to it. And then starting tomorrow, we are actually going to get into the birthing of the tabernacle. You know, how it all began. What is the layout of the tabernacle? See, the tabernacle is how you discover Jesus. It is the most fascinating study to see how Jesus has always been there. But the revelation of the tabernacle will give you such a really great understanding of the Lamb and who the Lamb really is. And so I encourage you guys, you know, to be a part of that Bible study with us on Mondays and Thursdays. So here's our weekly schedule. Sunday morning is church. Monday morning through Thursday morning is our prayer calls. We do prayer calls at 7:30 in the morning. And then on Mondays, we have the deal at 1 o'clock, the Bible study. And then that night we have Bible college. Okay. And then Tuesday we have the prayer call. Wednesday we have the prayer call. Thursday the prayer call, Bible study. And sometimes I have events on Thursday nights. Usually they're interviews or whatnot. Now, right now, I'm kind of holding back on the interviews. I've got a couple of them in holding because we are getting the better internet within the next month, and I'm not doing another thing until I get better internet. This internet here is very grainy, and so we're almost there, you know. So I keep telling everybody, hang on. But anyway. But that is our weekly schedule. So I encourage you guys to be a part of these prayer calls in the morning. And, you know, those morning prayer calls are global. We have people from all over the world that just cannot wait for it to be posted on the website. The website is really doing amazing. I don't know how they've all found it, but maybe when I got off of YouTube, they began looking. I don't know. But so anyways, well, you guys, I pray you have a good day. Let me pray for all you guys. Lord, we just thank you so much for the word that Pastor preached this morning. Lord, I thank you that when he preaches to us, Lord, that he relates it to his everyday life, you know, and he shows them how the word is applicable to today. And Lord, we just speak blessings over Pastor. Lord, we thank you that last week was Pastor Appreciation Week. And we thank you for the love that people did by sending him cards and, you know, really thanking him. Because out of the whole 3 years that we've been doing this, we've never done a Pastor Appreciation, Lord. And I'm thankful that you brought it to our attention for the church to really show him some love right now. And we really just thank you for that, Lord. Lord, I pray for all of the church people, Lord, that you would strengthen their faith today, Lord. Strengthen their hearts. I pray that they would take heed to what Pastor is trying to say about, you know, Lord, we know we don't have much time left. We really don't. And I pray that they hear what he is saying about, you know, our eternal home is heaven. You know, we're only here for a fleeting moment, and we need to love, love, love. We need to gain whatever time we have left, and we need to build relationships and to love people. And, you know, to really let our light shine with the time we have left, knowing that we are redeeming the time because we're giving you our time, Lord. That's the key. And so we thank you, Lord, that as we love not the world, we love you more. We know, Lord, that we have to be willing to give it up at any time. With the hour that we're living in. So thank you for this encouraging word for us. And Lord, I pray that all of us will be able to let it go, you know, if it be so required or when it be so required, that we would have the strength and the fortitude to be able to let it go, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we are in the age and the dispensation of grace. That we are in a time that the grace of God is what we need to survive. We thank you for giving us, I want to say superpowers, but giving us gifts. Here we go. Giving us gifts like being filled with the Holy Ghost and being able to pray in tongues and being able to speak the mysteries of God through our tongue. And we just thank you for that, Lord, that having the Holy Ghost with us to be able to lead us and guide us through this tumultuous time, Lord. We just thank you and give you praise that you equipped us for the battle. That's exactly right. You have equipped us, Lord. You have not forsaken us. You have not given us a time here on the earth without hope. We have hope. And we thank you, Lord. I speak hope into everyone. I speak joy into everyone today. I thank you, Lord, for being their provider, Lord, being their comforter, Lord, giving them wisdom with their tongue, knowing how to talk to people, how to warn or not to warn anymore, knowing that the ark door is shut, people have made up their mind, Lord. Help them to give their families to you, Lord, trusting you like Moses when he was cast into the water. That mother had to trust him, had to trust you, Lord, with Moses. And that's what we need to do, Lord. We need to trust you with our families and just begin to love for the rest of the remaining time that we have. We give you glory, Lord. We give you honor today because this truly is the day that you have made. And Lord, we look out our windows, Lord, and we see you testifying all day long. Testifying by the birds and the sun and the stars that we see. When we know that the enemy is out to remove your testimony, Lord, of all your beautiful creation, your animals and your birds. And the beautiful flowers this spring, Lord, we want to see your testimony. And we recognize that the beauty of your creation, you know, is something that we do not want to take advantage of. We want to really appreciate your testimony, just like you appreciate our testimony, Lord. Because no one can deny our testimony. This is our story. This is our journey that you have given us in the earth, Lord. This is our testimony to the world, Lord, of you, of who Jesus is to us and his mighty power and mighty hand. People can't take away from us what our experience has been. And help us to not be ashamed of our past or ashamed of our story. Help us to be very grateful and thankful and willing to share it any time. And we just thank you, Lord, that our stories is for your glory. We worship and praise your holy name today, Lord. We put you on the throne of our heart today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, guys. Well, we pray you all have a wonderful day, and we will see you in the morning. God bless.